We sang Love, Divine, All Love. And it was so funny. I was reading a story this past week about the Wesley brothers, Charles, who was the hymnist, and John, who found it was the founder of the Methodist Church. They did something unusual. They both went out deliberately. Charles matched up John with a wife, and John matched Charles up with a wife. 10 years later, simultaneously, they both said, "We should have stayed single." And so I don't know, their marriages didn't work too well, but I was chuckling about that. Today being the Sunday after Easter, there's a lot of things that went on in that post-dramatic crucifixion and resurrection. We're now on the night of Resurrection Sunday, of Easter Sunday, as we would call it. And according to John's gospel, The disciples had yet to have encountered the resurrected Lord. The apostles John and Simon Peter had viewed the empty tomb, and as we know later, Mary Magdalene had excitedly told them of her witnessing the risen Christ. It's a funny thing, he appeared to her being a woman first before he did all those male disciples, isn't it? So they were sort of hesitant to even believe her. But it was on the evening of the first Easter, and the disciples had gathered in the upper room. Most of them were scared out of their wits. They didn't know if the door could be knocked down any time, and here came the Gestapo in, or what was the version of the Gestapo in Jerusalem at that time. They thought it might be the Romans, but more than likely it would have been the Sanhedrin, or the religious leaders would have been after them. And they'd heard that since the Romans had tortured and crucified Christ, who would say that they would not be next on the hit list to be executed? Then suddenly, out of nowhere, Christ appeared. He just came out, either walked through the door, walls or door, or just appeared suddenly out of nowhere. That's not normal, is it? You don't normally see people just appearing like that out of nowhere. Now, we don't have to meet behind locked doors. I don't think there's a door lock. Maybe this one might have a lock on the outside to get in, but I don't really think, unless I ask Mike to lock the front doors. We don't live under that fear. Of course, we know there have been churches have been, in recent years, have had problems with people coming in. But on the whole, we come to church with an idea that we're going to be pretty secure and we're going to leave here that way. So, but they were really trembling to know that something like that could happen. And you know, fear has a way of clinging to all of us at times. And you just try to put yourself in the disciples' sandals. And probably there amongst them were a lot more, but probably Mary, the mother of the Lord, was in there too, in the upper room. So all these people were trying to take in comfort. You know, they say there's comfort in numbers, and that's probably the reason they were all together, because their leader was dead, and they didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, he appeared before them. She goes to show you he had conquered death, and that is our hope. And remember this, there's no problem that Christ cannot solve today. But it sounds simplistic but true. The risen Savior is very aware of our concerns, and all that he requests is we trust him. The disciples, of course, were overjoyed, and they're shocked to see him there standing in their midst, and they witnessed this most glorious event. Well, we too should continue the joy of the resurrection of Christ each Sunday when we gather for worship. But my question of the hour is, where's the rest of the people that should be experiencing joy with us that are absent a lot of times? And we have that question. They should be here as much as we do. His death on the cross offers forgiveness, and the resurrection provides us with the hope of life eternal. And that's something worth celebrating, and worship should be a time of joy and anticipation of meeting with the risen Lord. So Christ gave his disciples the news that they were to be sent out into the world. Well, now, you're talking to quite a few people here who were still scared to death. Go out into that world where you were killed? we're going to hide out here in the safety of this room. But, you know, altogether, he was voicing what they needed to be to do. But they also remembered he was beaten, whipped, and crucified. And perhaps in their thoughts and fears, they said, I'm not for sure if I'm up to being sent out yet. And Christ was saying to them, continue my ministry. Well, as I said earlier, we're safe pretty much behind these sanctuary doors. We share common beliefs and values about our Lord. So we're comfortable. We don't have to worry about being accepted because we're family. But outside those doors, it isn't too genteel, is it? Because of the harshness which seems to dominate. I was thinking the other day, driving around in the convertible and looking around and everything, you know, we hear a lot of people criticizing the world we live in, and there's, of course, bad things go on. And a lot of times the media magnifies it too. But you know, the world is not really that bad of a place if you know how to appreciate it and know that you can see God's grace in the world we live in. You just look around and look at the birds and the nature that we live in. And you know, hear a baby whimper or cry or whatever it is. You know, there's a lot to be said about the good things that God has created in our world. So when I hear somebody condemning in the world, I'm sure they're doing it because they see evil. But we also have to look for the good, you know. And what was it Abraham Lincoln said? When you look for bad, you're going to find bad. But when you look for the good, you'll find good. So try to flip that around and look for the good around you too. It's not that bad. It's not that good, but guess what? You can make it a little bit better with a smile, and your actions can improve what we see every day in our life. So Christ is here in our presence, and we're okay, contented, and unafraid. Then Christ tells us, you're going out of these walls, four walls, and continue what I started. Well, look at the doors walking out. But remember this too, Christ is much with us out there than he is with us inside. So don't feel like he's going to abandon us or forsake us because we leave a holy place called a church or a sanctuary, whatever you want to call it, because Christ is there too. So never forget that. And as God's children, we don't stand a chance among the wolves with our own power because we're not strong enough for fear that they will rip us apart. The power of darkness can be far too great for us to encounter opposition on our own strength. But if we will continue Christ's mission into our world and walk out these doors, we must have something which will allow us to confront the opposition with the confidence that we can win. Just as our vehicles depend upon gasoline and our homes need electricity and our bodies require a proper diet, we need a divine energizing power that will equip us spiritually to be sent out as lambs among the wolves. Christ gave us the command to go and continue his mission, plus the necessary power to do so for his purpose in our lives. But you know, there's an interesting person here, and I mentioned him. His name was Thomas. Unfortunately, he's got a bad nickname called the Doubter. So many sermons have been addressed about the doubts of this apostle. But the question that keeps interrupting my thought process is when Christ breathed the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, where was Thomas? Well, he was out probably shopping for groceries. But think about that. Was Thomas included in that holy breath of Christ? Well, yes, I'm sure he was. But it took a personal encounter with Christ for Thomas to actually believe that Christ was the resurrected Lord. And it took belief too. And there's a quote by a man named the Reverend Endicott Peabody. He was the headmaster of the Groton Preparatory School up in New England. He was also a mentor of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And he said this, to believe is to be strong. To believe is to be strong. To doubt cramps energy. Belief is power. Think about that. When your belief system is wavering, just think, kick it into high gear and think about that. The belief will give you strength and power to go on. You won't be in a lurch, or you won't think, I can't do it. Belief can do wonders, and belief and faith go hand in hand. But something very interesting took place. We think about this probably in late May, I'm not for sure the date, for Pentecost, the arrival of the Holy Spirit to the church. Guess what? The apostles got it 50 days before everybody else did. The Holy Spirit was breathed upon them by Jesus Christ. So they had the advantage over other ones around them. And the Holy Spirit continues to breathe on us today. God-breathed moments are desperately needed if we desire to walk with God in this world of chaos. The Holy Spirit equips us to live as God intended so that we might live out our faith to all the world. Upon departing from this sanctuary today, a reminder so that we are reinvigorated with this idea that the Holy Spirit is also with us upon the breath of Christ. We dare not try to live our life on our own because we don't stand a chance. But with the power of the Holy Spirit will give us the impetus to go forward. Well, you know, we do typically associate the Holy Spirit with Pentecost as described in the book of Acts. And the Holy Spirit touched the lives of these apostles so that they could go ahead and begin the work of Christ. The church needs God-breathing renewal today. For too long, the church has been going through the motions and routines and attempting to do things under its own power. If we are to carry on the message of the forgiving love of God, we must be receptive to the life-changing work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not to be feared. I was thinking just this week while preparing the message, what happened to the Asbury Revival? It was on our tongues about a month and a half ago. Well, what happened? Well, something did happen. A professor announced that classes were to convene very soon and that it needed to be moved off the campus of Asbury to some churches. With the Holy Spirit there on that campus, and it was growing stronger and stronger every day, people allowed the Holy Spirit to become quenched. Or as Peabody said, you know, it became strangulated. Now, am I saying human beings can do that? Well, we can come in between the Holy Spirit and God in some ways by our opposition. Now, I'm sure the professor meant, well, the students needed to get back to their classes. But look what would have happened if they had stayed on the campus, if that revival. It would have spread all over the United States. But we don't hear anything more about it. So remember, the Holy Spirit still works, but we'd better not tamper with it, because the Holy Spirit wants to bless everyone possible. The Holy Spirit does things that we would never think about. You know, humans twist the Bible a little bit to teach that we will draw close to God, and when we draw close to God, God will draw closer to us. Well, that's in reverse of what the Bible says. Think about this. The Bible actually says God is the one who is drawn near to us before we do. God desires to meet us, and that is when our fears and doubts will be changed into confidence and strength. I was talking to a cousin the other day, and about 15 years ago, her sister died. I was there at her funeral, and they had a minister there. I'm not for sure exactly what church he was from, but he had a big tooth grin, you know, smiled like he'd been brushing his teeth with Pepsodent for a while. And I noticed after he was over with, he came prancing down the aisle, and he was greeting people, but he came to me, and he grabbed my hand. He said, brother, have you received Jesus yet, accepted him? I said, no, I haven't. And he looked at me like, what did you say? I said, no, I'm Presbyterian. Jesus accepted me. I didn't have to accept him. And then we both started laughing because he knew it was a tongue-in-cheek thing. But in actuality, The Lord comes to us. Remember that. The Lord comes to us. And never forget that. And He will never let you go out of His grip. Never forget that as long as you live. So, God desires to meet us, and that is when our fears and doubts will be changed into confidence and strength. Never forget that. Have a new encounter with God every day. When you wake up in the morning, all you have to do is say, "Thank you, God," and just continue to renew your faith daily. So let us encounter God today and be strengthened by God's power instead of our own. You will see magnificent results happen. Let us pray. God, never let us have a stagnant faith. Let our belief system grow and be stronger, because we know with a strong belief system that we can do anything that we can set our hearts to. We believe, O Lord, that sometimes we think we have to take actions under our own command, but we know that You are the one that facilitates them. Help us to be obedient to You in all things. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.